Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm just sitting here now basking in the delight of having had a spectacular time last weekend at the Woman of Wisdom Conference in Seattle. So I've been sharing with you our presenters over the past 5 months, and now it's the wonderful memories of their workshops, the community of wonderful women, and it's amazing when women come together, what they can create. And the presenters, Starhawk, Cindy Dale, Normandy Ellis, and Nikki Scully were fabulous. A highlight I want to share was Saturday evening we did a healing ritual for planetary healing. Nikki and Normandy created. We had an overflow crowd of people chanting, putting all our energies into the cauldron for healing for everyone on this journey, this time around on our planet. And soon we'll have up on our website, you'll be able to purchase a DVD of Starhawk and Cindy Dale's evening presentation. You just need some preparation, and I'll inform you when those are ready. So today I'm excited. My guest is Max Dashew. We're going to talk about ancient women, shamans and priestesses, and modern medicine women, and all sorts of wonderful things. Max is a history sibyl who uses images to teach women's global history and heritages. Her legendary slideshows and webcasts bring to light the woman of power hidden away from us, from the ancient goddess icons to female leaders, culture makers, rebels, and medicine women. In 1970, Max founded the Suppressed Histories Archives to research mother right, female spheres of power, goddess reverence, and shamanic arts, as well as patriarchy, racism, and the history of domination. She began presenting slideshows in 1973, and she has built up a collection of over 230,000 images and has created 150 visual presentations on topics such as female rebels and mavericks, women shaman, Kemetic goddesses, witches and pagans, and mother right and gender justice. She's got a new book coming out, The Secret History of the Witches, which looks at priestesses, oracles, healers, and goddesses in Europe, and unveils the story of the witch hunts, which are the prehistory not only of modern misogyny, but of racist colonial ideologies and modern fundamentalism. She has an acclaimed DVD, Women's Power and Global Perspective, and it's going to be followed by a second film, soon to be released, Woman Shaman, The Ancients. And I want to share her websites. You can go to maxdashu.net, and you can look at her art there. You can go to her Facebook page just go to Facebook and do a search for Suppressed Histories Archives, and a wonderful range of images and of the goddess and prehistoric sculptures from all over the world. It's an amazing sight to see. I really recommend you go check out her website and her Facebook page. So welcome, Max, to Voices of Women.
Thanks, Chris. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, well, I am too. And we were just talking before we started how we had met. I don't know, maybe it was 5 years ago, maybe a little more. We were at a conference on matriarchy in Texas, and so I'm just great. It's great to connect with you again. I know that you have done, you've been at this for over 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in the 43rd year now.
Wow. Well, I want to know first how it all started for you, how you got interested in women's history, how you got interested in capturing all these images with your photographs. I don't know if they're all your photographs, but...
Yeah, I was a student, and women's history in 1969 was literally a joke. You know, you couldn't do it in the academy. It was just, there's nothing there, there's nothing to find, you know, don't look behind the curtain. And I began researching independently at that point, because I knew that there was something else than the story that we've all been given, the traditional story of, you know, conventional housewives and all these things that they tell us. And so, you know, I have been able to uncover all of this just very different stories and images. And the image part began when I, in 1973, I was a consultant for one of the first feminist films. Donna Deitch was making a documentary at UCLA Film School. And so I went down there, and we went around to all the university libraries and started taking slides. That's how I got started with slideshows that we were going to film for this movie. Well, that part of the movie never happened, but I wound up with a core seedling collection of about 300 slides. And I very quickly discovered how powerful of a medicine it was for women to see images of women that are not like everything we've been shown. You know, the very rigid template of femininity that we've been given. And, you know, the submissiveness and all of the things that we've been told about this is who women are. And, you know, I was finding these amazing goddess images and female shamans and priestesses and from all over the world. Of course, you have to really dig, especially back then, to get to this. But I just was basically beginning to prospect in libraries and going through books and looking for other patterns, especially in the indigenous world. And so that's how it began. I just started making this collection, and I somehow thought at that point that it was going to be finite. But now I've realized that it's not. It never ends. There's always new amazing things that have been hidden away. And, you know, in the beginning, I thought, well, you know, they just destroyed everything. You know, we had these various patriarchal overthrows and, you know, the subjugation of women and the conquests and all of the things that went on. And they simply burned and destroyed and smashed everything. And a lot of that did happen. But on the other hand, there's an amazing amount of stuff that simply does not make its way past the gatekeepers in the museums and in the publishing houses that choose this is going to be the color plate, and we're going to put, you know, the famous male figure here and the general there and the lord there. And they were just systematically not showing us all of this other stuff.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's complex. I think that, you know, in many cases it was not a conscious process. It just, they simply considered females unimportant. Or they were threatened, and I think this was operative in a lot of the cases, that, you know, it just made them, they didn't like it. As much as we would like to see it, some of these gatekeepers were threatened, and they didn't want to show it. And then a whole group of things were censored out very deliberately because they were considered, quote-unquote, obscene. And so, you know, that was with the Sheila Nagigs and a lot of the naked figures and the women holding their breasts, or the sacred vulva stones that are all over the planet. And so those literally could not be published. And you had certain Victorian gentlemen had collections of this stuff, of prints or whatever, you know, of objects, that was just very much kept in a very, very tight, hidden away corner. And so, you know, because that definition of the female body as obscene, of sexuality obscene, and also the definition of the female as only a sexual being, only a material being, you know, all of these things operate in ways that define what's actually out there in a really ideological or doctrinal way, you could say. And so, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. Racism is another reason, because a lot of what we get shown as the cultural record is European, and you'll see West Asia a little bit, and you'll see maybe Egypt, maybe the Aztecs, maybe India, but you're not seeing anything from South and Central America or most of Africa other than Egypt, you know, and there's huge chunks of Asia that outside of India and China that are just full of amazing, not only just images, but stories and heritages that just never get talked about. And so there's a way in which patriarchal attitudes and racist attitudes come together in keeping us locked out of this huge heritage of human experience and culture, a lot of richness that's just kept out of our sight. And
yeah,
so that's, you know, my name for my project is the Suppressed Histories Archives.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because it adds to our sense of shame around our bodies. You know, just like you said, you know, women's bodies are denigrated, they're obscene. I mean, what message does that give? And we don't bring our children up with that sense of honoring of the female body, you know,
yeah.
or the power of a woman.
Yeah, and we're shown a really narrow spectrum of the way female ought to look. You know, so mm-hmm. that there's a very posed, very constrained, constricted idea of how the female body should move, the way the female voice should sound, and it's leaving out huge areas. I mean, it's just like on television, you never see women without makeup, you never see old women, or you see very few old women in relation to, you know, our presence in the population. You know, and so there's all these censorship grips, you know, that are prescriptive in a way, that it's just like young, thin, blonde, posed, tight.
Yeah, yeah, you know. And that's who we're supposed to emulate. Well, you're listening to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis. We're going to come back and talk more about the ancient women shamans with Max Dashu. We'll be right back.
Tune into Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard, each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring, as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com. Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern for Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show. Check out Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley on TTRNetwork.com.
Saskia has been helping clients around the world find the North Star in their soul and reinvent their lives through her free breakthrough program, The Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 Days. If you have a calling but aren't sure how to get there, here's a step-by-step strategy to find your purpose now. You'll learn her proven secrets to achieve your dream in just 21 days. Release your fears and go after your biggest dreams and create the life you love. Visit YourSoulGuidance.com to receive your 21 Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams or to schedule your Soul Breakthrough Session with Saskia or call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861. Or visit YourSoulGuidance.com. That's YourSoulGuidance.com to receive the Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 days.
Have you ever considered what money and sex have in common? Brenda St. Louis, founder of Know That You Know, explores the energies of debt, money, sex, and our bodies. In her four-week intensive Debt Into Delight, Getting Intimate with Your Digits, she tickles all those places we don't want to look at, infusing everything with exuberance. Would you be willing to have more money? Would you be willing to have more of you? Explore more of Brenda St. Louis at knowthatyouknow.com.
Women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and that song you heard was created by one of our Woman of Wisdom members, Paula Randall. And I'm enjoying my conversation today with Max Dashew, who has an amazing collection of images of women over the course of the Earth's history, going way back. So, Max, why do you feel these are important to share with the world?
I think that they expand our possibilities as women. They connect us with the ancestors. They show us sacred pathways that most of us have not been able to see before. They're incredibly beautiful, and I think that they're basically medicine for the spirit. You know, just to see this makes you feel ways of being that don't get shown very much in this culture. And, you know, there's something extremely deep about looking at an image of a woman from eastern Mexico with her hands reaching outward, invoking spirit, and you can see the transformed consciousness happening in her. They actually mirror these incredible psychonaut journeys that humans are capable of.
And what do you mean by psychonaut?
You know, yeah. Someone who journeys in the spirit.
Okay.
Right, spirit journeys. And in the new movie that I'm creating, I'm just last night finished formatting the first half. You know, the movie is done at this point. I just have to figure out how to get it authored on DVD. So I'm doing the text search for it. But there are whole chapters on women in spiritual flight, for example, sacred dance, shape-shifting, the snake powers, shamanic goddesses. And so all of this, you know, just to have this all pulled together in one place in an intense way, rather than a little bit over here and a little bit over there, is transformative to see this. This is our heritage. And this is something that I know a lot of women long for. But to actually be able to show it to them, you know, to share it and say, we do have this. We do have this in our history. You know, these possibilities for ourselves now, you know, ways, things that we can connect with and bring through. And also, you know, see that experiences that we've had in our own circles and incantation and movement that we do in the movements that have been happening over the past couple decades of reclamation, that this has, it goes back very far and very deep, and there's a connection there.
Yeah, I think you can feel that. You know, you tap into that. There's something, I think it's still in our DNA. You know, it's in our blood. And so there's a resonance when we see, especially a collection. You know, I've seen some DVDs, or there's this one out there now on the red tent that Isadora Leidenfrost put together. And it just really, you know, resonates with women. And this just goes even more, you know, when you get to that ancient place and you just, it's so rich, you can feel it, you know. And I think, women, when they see films like this, I can't wait to see your DVD, because I just know how powerful it'll be for women. And it's something we can jump off of, don't you think? It's like,
absolutely.
It gives us a base of power, like, oh, women are capable of this.
it gives us a place to stand. An authentic place to stand, because we can look, whatever your ethnic heritage is, in some direction you can find a place to stand there. You know, this is because we are, in a way, most of us in the U.S. are like cultural exiles. Women are cultural exiles because we're trying to exist within a really dominance-based society, you know. And so to be able to follow the strand back and reconnect with that ancestral energy and with that land-honoring energy is something that really reconnects us. You know, we're just moving in exile, and we don't really have the confidence, you know, of a tradition that, do you understand what I'm saying, the tradition that can kind of shore up under us something that will hold us. You know, we have to recreate it, and that's hard to do. You know?
Yeah, then we borrow others. You know, a lot of people follow Native American tradition, and which is fine, and there's a lot of wealth there, but we also have our own cultural. Like, I'm Norwegian. There's the Valkyrie. There's the ruin writing. There's, you know, there's a lot there that I can feel, you know, and I've been to Norway, and I know it's ancient in me. Our family goes back, you know, 1,000 more years there. So there is that richness. And I know that for some people, there's sort of a sense of loss. I remember someone telling me, like, well, you have this culture, you have this, you know your background. I'm a mix, you know. And so when a lot of people in the States, they're a mix of it can be part Native American and part Irish and part European, you know, some other, you know, a mix of many things. And I think they can sense this feeling of, well, what am I? Mm-hmm. Then.
Well, and a lot of those folks have been doing ancestral investigations and trying to say, well, okay, look, you know, I have all this in me, you know, and finding power in it, because it's very disempowering when it just sort of like society does not recognize that such as you exist. You know, there's no defined space for you to move in, and a lot of exclusions actually happen. But, you know, I know somebody who's of Mexican and Polish ancestry, and she's done a lot of dream work and a lot of study and pulling together those parts of herself, and she is an integration of those heritages. And, mm-hmm. and so she's made something very powerful from it. You know, and there's so many things, like, I mean, you know, in this world, since empire, you have, I mean, people have always mixed and married and connected, you know, and all, there's always new lineages coming forward. But with the mobility of the past 500 years, and this was in a context of conquest as well, you have a lot more. You know, you have people who are Arabic and Laguna, and you have all these amazing Finnish and Southeast Asian, you know, and so it's all being mixed up. So, you know, each of those people have something unique to offer.
Yes, yeah, and it's discovering that, and sometimes we're so busy just trying to figure out what a day-to-day today is that we kind of forget that history is something that we can actually go back to strengthen ourselves. Getting back to the your video, what are some of the exciting finds that you have included in it?
You know, I did a lot of extra research. I had a lot of images already, like the Wu priestesses of ancient China. These were shamanic priestesses who did ceremonial dances, and there's pictures of them with gongs and dancing with birds. And so, you know, a lot of what I have in there is things that I had found over the course of, you know, four decades. But some of the new things that I pulled in there, and most of it's going to be new to people anyway, a lot of it came from rock art. And I have from Zimbabwe and the Sahara, amazing scenes of women's ceremonial dance, a few of women flying in the spirit. There's some in Zimbabwe, there's this really powerful rock paintings of women doing dances and kind of in a Sheila McGig pose. So their legs are spread very wide, almost like a martial arts horse stance, where they're just really grounded and they're dancing, and they have ritual ties on their shoulders and sometimes around their ribs, and they're holding up and dancing with feathers or leaves or crescents or rattles in their hands. And from their vulvas come out streams of vitality. And some of those streams show little descendants. These may be ancestral shamanic women, the little strands of descendants who are climbing along the streams coming out of the Great Mother. I found an amazing bronze plaque from what is now Armenia, ancient Urartu. And it shows a goddess temple with priestesses in procession holding sistrums and bells as they're advancing toward this enthroned goddess with her hair is flaming. It's like a mane. And just, wow, it's like Armenia. I've been looking for years, and I finally found this image for the female side. There's a lot of warrior stuff that, you know, is what you normally get shown, and here this came up. The Spanish rock art is also amazing. And there, too, you find ceremonial dances, and women going into ecstasy and floating up into the air over deer. And so there's a shamanic flight in connection with what appear to be spirit animals or spirit helpers. I found from ancient Peru, there's a whole series of ceramic images of medicine women. And some of them are drumming, and some of them are holding huachuma cactus, it's like peyote, in one hand, and chewing on it. And it actually shows them chewing it. And then others are holding the cactus and they're gesturing with the other hand as if they're making prophecy. So there's also some burials in Peru of priestesses who were tattooed with serpents and spiders along their arms. And I found things from Crete. Most people have seen the beautiful snake goddess and priestess seals and rings from ancient Crete. But I found some others that are not so well known, of ecstatic dancers and of women who were actually shape-shifting as they danced so that they sprout wings. And lots of serpent mysteries. There's some really rare, hardly ever published seals from eastern Iran, closer to Pakistan, that show a snake goddess with snakes coming out of her shoulders and kind of rearing up and pointing back toward her head, and processions of women coming toward her holding snakes at waist level. And underneath them are musicians playing lyres and drums and other ecstatic dances.
Well, it's just fascinating images. And, you know, you're really talking about shamans in every culture. So when we come back, let's explore that, you know, the shaman and how it's relevant to today's women. So this is Chris Stainis. You're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back and hear some more with Max Dashu.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Would you like to discover and bring forward your inner divine feminine and emerge, rebirth, rejuvenated and regenerated, restored to your original five-body blueprint? Join me, Patricia Iris Cairns, author and expert on the divine feminine, March 22nd and 23rd in Baltimore, Maryland, to birth this beautiful energy into your life. Register now, info@patriciairiscairns.com. That's info@patriciairiscairns.com.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Mona and Savitri explore our feminine power as they look at headline topics and what women are talking about. Join us on Sisters Talk Radio, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Michelle Bond Show. Awaken to a new reality. Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. This call-in show with Vedic astrologer, expert, and holistic health practitioner, Michelle Bond, will give you insight to a wide range of topics. This hit show provides healthy, empowering knowledge and information and restores your health and well-being through learning the latest complementary and alternative medicine modalities. Visit themichellebondshow.com.
What if you could teach your child how to follow their own wisdom and make trustworthy decisions? The hit radio show Teaching from the Heart with Julie Kay does just that. Tune in Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn practical and spiritual ways to teach young people how to become confident in who they are. Each week, Julie takes on tough topics that most parents dread, like bullying, peer pressure, self-esteem, social media, relationships, and even poor grades. For more information about Julie Kay, visit MindFocusGeneration.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, rise and shine, sister of God, spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and you just heard the Woman of Wisdom song from Lorraine Bays, and that's on our CD that you can get on our website. at www.womenofwisdom.org. Songs from amazing women singers who have been at the conference before, Holly Near, Rhiannon, Libby Roderick, and many others. It's a very inspiring CD. So I'm talking with Max Dashew. So Max, can you give your contact information and your websites where people can view these amazing images we're talking about?
Yes, the first I want to mention is my main website is suppressedhistories.net, and that's suppressed with an E-D and then histories with an I-E-S, all one word, suppressedhistories.net. And so that will give you links to my blog, to my art site, and the other place, of course, you mentioned before is the Facebook page. I've been blogging a lot on the Suppressed Histories page there, and that photo section, and there's some articles on there, too, that you can look at. I pretty much post every day there, and so you can get a lot of this, some of the powerful images I've been gathering through there. You can see them. And eventually, I don't have the link up yet, but the DVD for Woman Shaman, The Ancients, will be up on that site as well very soon. So that, those are the places to go. And there's a lot of articles on Suppressed Histories and some video clips as well from the first DVD.
Great, yeah, and I know you can go to YouTube and do a search for Max Dashew and find some little video clips too.
Yeah, I have a channel on YouTube. That's it.
Yes, yes. So we were talking about you were describing shamans and all these images of shamans. So let's discuss, you know, what are they? Who is a shaman, and why is it relevant now? I mean, for the 21st century.
Well, you know, the name. There's this thing that happened because of the witch hunts in Europe. A lot of the names were either demonized or they were chopped out of the languages, and so we find ourselves sometimes struggling to describe a reality that is a shared global capacity of humans to go into ecstasy, basically, to go beyond the borders of the self in order to access the vastness, you know, whether it's ancestral beings or land spirits or goddess energy, whatever, however, you know, there's all these ways of talking about this and framing it, but to basically plunge into the depths of the power and of our own spirit. And so, you know, this is where wisdom flows. This is where healing power comes. This is where prophetic insight originates, and there's all kinds of possible transformative possibilities to this. And so there are different names given to this around the world, and shaman became a name that was drawn from Eastern Siberia, from the Evenk people, because Russian ethnographers and later anthropologists said, well, we need a name for this phenomenon that we can talk about globally in a general way. And so that's been controversial to some extent because it is culturally specific, but it's kind of gone beyond that. And each of the cultures in South Africa, you have the Isangoma, there's local names for all these traditions. And they vary culturally to some extent, but they all involve incantation and movement, very often drums and rattles, ways of journeying to get there, both as an individual and very often also the collective, raising power together in order to have a shared spiritual experience and to go deep. You know, I call it praying with the body. And this is what distinguishes it from a lot of the more orthodox forms of religion where you have a very hierarchical notion of how things happen. It's very controlled often, the way that ceremonies are done. And there is not as much room for the spirit to move people as there are in the shamanic ceremonies, you know, to really to do that prayer with the body, which was outlawed in Europe.
You know, so do you think that's part of the suppression of the history, too? Suppress the bodies, you know, don't... If you have that transcendent experience of spirit in your body and you're dancing, you have a direct connection to God.
And you don't need a mediator.
Right.
You know, so that's where the hierarchical priesthoods were very threatened by this, and the state was as well. There are places like in China, well, Europe for sure, where state rulers became very threatened by this power because it was not something they could control. And someone dancing could call out, you know, the soldiers are coming and taking away our crops or whatever the local thing was. And so it would mobilize people. I have a whole presentation in PowerPoint on rebel shamans that is about medicine women who led indigenous revolts against the empire. because if the medicine women are basically guides and servitors of their people, the ones who take care of their people, who heal them, who guide them and do prophecy for them and sometimes mediate with ancestors and so forth, then when there's an invasion and the people are thrown into crisis and trauma, these are the people, these medicine women very often, who take up the challenge, a very dangerous one too, of trying to solve the problem and, you know, try to provide solutions and remedies and spiritual strength, you know, that to mobilize that among their community. And so you find figures like Nahanda Nyakasikana in Zimbabwe leading the charge against the English invasion of what they called Rhodesia, Cecil's Rhodes invasion. So that's a whole interesting pattern in itself. That shamanism can be politicized if it is in defense of sacred lifeways, you know, against conquest and domination. But that's a whole separate thing. And for us now, what I think the relevance of this is, number one, you find everybody, not only women, but, you know, many people, but especially women, I think, reaching for these transformative ways of spirit because of all we're facing. There's so much that we are standing and, you know, it's like, here we are watching it all happen with the earth and the assaults on the earth and the economic collapse and things like this are going on. And it's like, we need to be able to pull up that power out of spirit to be able to live, to, you know, transform the world, transform ourselves, heal ourselves. Goddess knows we're all carrying things from wounds that were inflicted. And so there's a transformative power here that can affect every corner of our life, every area.
And I think women particularly, but I don't want to rule out men too, people are looking for this. They're looking for something that, how do we get out of this mess we're in? Mm-hmm. And so they're searching. So sometimes going to these older roots, these, you know, the ancient, the shamanism, all these things are accessible to people to not redo again, but to, you know, in the old way, but to bring forward, how do we make use of this now that will empower us to help us resolve all these problems we're having in our world?
Yeah, and it isn't going to look the same. And
no.
yet at the same time, because this is something so primal, it will also, you know, in a deeper way, there's something that it's going to have shared. Because mm-hmm. that's what happens when you enter those psychoactive, when you activate that, you know, there's something that is shared. But, you know, it's going to be a new cultural flavor. And one of the things that's going on is that there are all of these integrations going on, these mixings happening between cultural traditions. You know, and you see that a lot happening in the women's community, the women's drum circles, and so many different things that have been created. I mean, this has been an explosion that's happened since about 1970, I would say. Keep going.
So describe that a little bit more. What is this looking like? It's a compilation. It's bringing different cultures together in different ways. And
women are meeting each other, and some are coming from the Mexican tradition, and some are coming from the African tradition, whether it's, you know, the Yoruba or other things. Some people going back and saying, wow, the Kemetic stuff really moves me, the ancient Egyptian. And you've got women of Korean descent and Filipinas, you know, the very powerful Babylon tradition that they are trying to reclaim. You know, it was very heavily chopped into by enforced Catholicism. And so, you know, there's a lot of fusion going on. And some people are saying, well, you know, I'm Mexicana and I don't let go of the Catholic part because, you know, my protector is La Virgen de Guadalupe. And others are saying, you know what, I want to go back to the Aztec goddesses, and which Guadalupe ultimately is rooted in. And so, you know, there are ways, I've seen this happening more and more, that women are coming in their regalia from their ancestral tradition and they're mixing it up. You know, that the woman from the Pacific Island, you know, Hawaiian tradition, is able to make ceremony in conjunction with a priestess of the Yoruba heritage. And so this is, you know, it's just like it's bubbling up. And we can't even predict the ways that it's going to combine. there is an issue, I have to say, cultural appropriation has been an issue since the 70s. And so, you know, there's, I think the principle there is that you have to be invited in. You can't just take. Mm-hmm. You have to be invited in order to work with those energies, you know, of that particular tradition.
But, and, you know, and show respect for it, too.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, there's just, it's just, I feel like there's this burgeoning going on because the need is very great. You know, we have a lot to change, and we need a lot of, we need a lot of backup spiritually for everything we're facing. You know, it's it can be daunting, and you know, there's the only way is forward.
Yeah, and so it gives us, like we said before, a base to stand on that we can go back and bring some things forward that will strengthen us and bring us into community. I mean, it's great that you're mentioning all these people with different heritages coming together and blending even within themselves. Whether, you know, bringing the Guadalupe with the more ancient Mexican traditions, or you know, a variety of things, it's kind of a fascinating time. Well, this is Chris Stainis and Voices of Women. We're going to return again and continue this conversation with Max Dashu. So stay with us.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible. To help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jantz, each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio, Join the talk the world is having.
Women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength, women of wisdom, women.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and we're having a wonderful conversation with Max Dashew. We're going to start off with, we were talking about shamans, so I'm going to have Max read a chant. It might give you a flavor of what an invocation, how it might be done. It's from the shamans from the Altai region in southern Siberia.
Yes, this is from Urshak Avidai, and she's chanting to her Kizungu, which are bronze or brass mirrors that the shamans wear as part of their ceremonial robes. Now, now, begin, begin. I made ritual fire from juniper and wormwood. Slowly I sprinkle my sacred liquid. You took the light from the moonbeams and sun rays, golden bronze mirrors belonging to the Azar Kubrus. You took the light from the moonbeams and sun rays, shining bronze mirror. You belong to Ishtugu. So this is, you can see that there's like a poetry in it, and it's an invocation. So she's calling up, she's actually calling up the power of one of her spirit helpers that lives in the Kizungu, her little bronze or brass mirror. And when she talks about sprinkling her sacred liquid, this is libation that goes on. In Central Asia, what they do is they will dip in, they have a ritual spoons, and they dip it into kumis, which is a form of fermented mare's milk, and they toss it in towards the sky, and they toss it into the four directions. And women will do this every morning, not just shamans, but any women will do this to bless their home. They come out of the yurt, and they toss the sacred liquid. If they don't have kumis, then they will just do it with water or milk or whatever they have around. But it's a way of sacramentally saluting the universe and of placing themselves within it and grounding themselves in the directions and in with the spirit. So I think that it's useful to look at these kinds of incantations. You can learn a lot if you ever run across, there's things online, for example, Maria Salina, who was a Mazatec curandera in southern Mexico. Her chants are beautiful, and you learn so much from reading them. They're poetry, but they're actually showing her in the process of chanting herself into an altered, deep state of unity. And so it's just like amazing, because it's like a cascade of affirmations that she just goes deeper and deeper as she sings them.
Yeah, and you talked about the shamans, they start their day that way. And, you know, sometimes in our Western culture, we just, you know, the alarm goes off, we get up, mm-hmm. brush your teeth, eat, and running out the door. And we don't take that time, which really grounds you. I at Woman of Wisdom last weekend, I took a workshop with Vicki Dodd, who's been doing sound medicine for 40 years. And she gave us a ritual of, it's calling your name, but making it, into you don't really it's like having it roll around in like water in your mouth, so you don't hear Chris, you hear, it's kind of like gobbledygook, but you keep doing it round and round and round and bring it down into your core till it becomes a hum, and starting your day that way and then feeling it in your body and standing there, and just you end up feeling just more grounded and start your day off on the right foot.
You know, and it's like there's that faithful affirmation of placing yourself in a matrix of intention, because you're in a spiral. You're circularly doing this every day. Whatever time it is you choose, when you get up in the morning is a good time. When you go to bed at night is a good time to ground back and refocus yourself in your life intentions, you know, as well as in the sacred matrix.
Yeah, so powerful. So tell us a little bit more about your first DVD, Woman's Power and Global Perspective, so people might learn about that. And also you have some posters.
Yes. Well, that was my first video, and it's basically a global view of female power in all kinds of different directions. I look at mother right cultures, or what people might call matriarchies. I look at women as builders and farmers and potters and basket makers, political leaders, women scholars, just a whole range, shamans and priestesses, of course, women warriors and leaders of liberation movements, activists. It's a lot. It's the whole kitchen sink of women's power is in there. You know, whatever I could pack into that hour and a half. And so that you can find a link to that on my website, and you can actually find it, as Chris was saying, on YouTube. You can look at some of the clips, outtakes from it that give you a taste of it. And both of these DVDs, I should mention, have music behind them. I think that's really important to expand our experience of the images, you know, to have a cultural feel behind it. And then the other resource that I have is that I've been creating posters taking some of the most amazing images that I've found. The most recent one is called Breast Pots, and it's actually ceremonial offering vessels in the shape of women's breasts, you know, so that there will either be breasts all the way around the sides of the pot, or it'll be the pot in the form of a woman holding her breasts. And so I'm just trying to kind of pull together these basic themes, like Sacra Vulva is another poster, and it shows cultures where the vulva is not in a pornographic context, but is in a sacred context, you know. And just to see that this is something in the Pacific Islands, you can find it in the Congo, in the Shilanigigs of Europe, in the tantric images out of India, the yoni being worshipped, and actually people pouring sacred substances over an icon of the yoni as a form of veneration. And one of the other posters, Female Icons, Ancestral Mothers, is the ancient goddess figurines. And my idea with all of these is to show these as a global phenomenon. It's not just old Europe, and it's not just the places we usually see, but it's Ecuador, and it is South Africa, and parts of Southeastern Asia, and the outside of the standard narratives, and pull it back together so that women can see, you know what, your body was revered in a historic way across the planet, and, you know, your breasts are sacred. They are a symbol of the life giver and the nurturer. There's power in them. People worked with this ceremonially, and the same with your vulva. And this is medicine, once again, to counter all of the wounds we've sustained in our female bodies, all the insults and degradations that get handed out, so that women are shamed and fearful. And, you know, they have reasons to be fearful, but we have to counter that with affirmation and with the sacred value that is there.
And yeah, so I want to, yeah, well, it's great, the work that you're doing and bringing this out. So, woman, I encourage you to go to Max's website. Can you give the address again?
Yes, it's www.suppressedhistories.net.
Yes, it's such a rich, you know, and I think you can learn so much from it and incorporating that in our lives as women and, be, you know, really becoming the shamans of today, powerful women. So I want to thank you so much for being here today. And also, I just want to point out to people that she, Max, has online courses such as Woman Shaman and other online courses. And you can find out about those on your website, correct?
Yes, right.
Great.
And
okay.
I'll be starting a new line of courses very soon.
Great. So I want to leave everyone this thought today. How can you embrace yourself as a powerful woman, healer, shaman, and that part of you that's in your DNA and your blood? Let's recover our lost heritage and contribute to the reinstating of women in power in this century. So thank you so much, Max, for being here today.
Thank you for inviting me, Chris.
Yeah, it was great. So I want to tell everybody how you can sign up for the Women of Wisdom newsletter. Go to www.womenofwisdom.org. And also check out my book on Women of Wisdom. It is a compilation of many of the speakers we've had, of people's stories, art, poetry. It's a wonderful compilation, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. You can also get that at our website at womenofwisdom.org. Next week, I'll be interviewing Mary Beth Moser. And I look forward to seeing you in the future. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, Radio with Chris Stainis.
You're
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors, motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors, filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think that Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.